Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, February 13, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Illinois High School Association, CU may bid anew on basketball tournament. Last time around, State Farm Center still under reconstruction. By Ben Zichterman, Peoria. After losing out to Peoria in 2015, Champaign-Urbana will likely try again to bring back the boys' state high school basketball tournament it hosted for 77 years. With the contract set to expire in 2020, IHSA board members have begun discussions about the future of the event, which could see a major change, having all four classes play over one weekend instead of the current two, wherever it's held. Local officials hope it's here, home to the IHSA boys basketball finals from 1919 to 1995. We are definitely working on a bid for the next round, University of Illinois athletic spokesman Kent Brown said Tuesday. We are definitely interested and are still working on a committee to put together the information and the bid for the next round of games. When the contract was last up in 2015, the community put forward a $750,000 bid to lure back the boys' tournament, which the IHSA opted to keep in Peoria. If the IHSA switches in 2021 to the new format its board discussed, holding the girls' state finals on March 4 through 6 and the boys' on March 11 through 13, Champaign-Urbana could make a play for both events. The girls' state finals, which debuted in 1977, were held at what's now the State Farm Center from 1978 to 1991 before moving to Normal, which hosted the inaugural event. Booking the Illini's basketball home for four consecutive weekends would be too tall an order. But a condensed format makes bidding for the girls' tournament worth a discussion, Brown said. A decision has not been made. The IHSA board hasn't voted on the condensed tournament schedule, but said it would be seeking feedback on the idea. Visit Champaign County CEO Jane DeLuce said that if approved, bids would likely be due in December 2019 with a vote in March 2020. She said a bid is being explored and that Champaign-Urbana would be in a better position than it was the last time around. I think the State Farm Center is the premier venue in the state of Illinois and should be the host location for the basketball tournament for boys or girls, she said. Unlike in 2015, State Farm Center is no longer under construction, DeLuce pointed out. The facility is done, which makes a big difference, she said. At the time we showed the State Farm Center last time, it was a dust bowl. Now it's completely finished. I think they would see the added amenities of the renovated State Farm Center. Brown agreed, saying, "We have one of the finest facilities in the country and state to host a tournament like this." In the 2015 effort, donors and private entities put together $510,000, and local communities pledged another $240,000, including $30,000 a year from Champaign and $5,000 a year from Urbana. Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said she'd support another bid. "We tried very hard last time, so I'm looking forward to being part of the effort this time as well, she said. It's just a great event to bring to our community and highlight and showcase our community. Urbana's pledge would be a small investment with a great return, Marlin said. It's not just in dollars and cents, but in positive impressions of our community. And for some kids, it's their first time at the University of Illinois. In 2015, local hotels also committed to providing at least 410 rooms with discounted rates, welcome bags, snacks, and complimentary shuttles. Hotels also vowed not to require two-night stays as they had in the past. Deluce said the area's hotels would be able to handle a condensed state tournament, comparing it to this weekend's state wrestling tournament, which is bringing 672 athletes to town. While she said there is a complete sellout of hotels this weekend, we do have enough space for a basketball tournament, she said. If we can host wrestling with that many people, we can host that many people for basketball, Deluce said. The contract for the state wrestling tournament is also up after 2020, and Deluce said the community would absolutely like to continue hosting it. Wrestling is our biggest economic impact, especially with the number of wrestlers, family members, fans, and officials who stay here multiple days, she said. While the IHSA football finals typically bring fans to town for a day when they're held every other year at Memorial Stadium, events like wrestling, and potentially basketball, are more likely to keep them around longer, Deluce said. Champaign County Board. Proposed Homer Solar Farm okayed, but construction depends on results of Illinois Power Agency's contract lottery. By Tim Mitchell, Urbana. The Champaign County Board gave final approval Tuesday for a proposed solar farm planned east of Homer. Whether it actually gets built now comes down to the luck of the draw. The board voted 21-0 at a special meeting to grant a special use permit to Atlanta-based Sol America Energy LLC for a 2-megawatt solar farm on 14.6 acres east of Homer, west of the Vermilion County line, and north of the sewage treatment plant. Sol America Energy's Champaign Sinclair Farm joins a solar farm project in Ludlow, two projects in St. Joseph, and one in Sydney in the Illinois Power Agency's lotteries for contracts for renewable energy credits. Sol is very excited about coming to Champaign County, said Mac Butler. An engineer representing Sol America Energy. I think it's an ideal site, located on the outside edge of the county. It will be a great economic development driver and tax base driver for the county. Today is the deadline for solar farm proposals across the state to be entered into the lottery. This might be our one shot to get Sol America in the program, Butler said. He said that Sol America completed its application and planning and planned on filing it electronically shortly after Tuesday's meeting in order to participate. The date for the lottery hasn't been made public, but Butler said he understood it will take place within the next 30 to 60 days. It keeps getting postponed, Zoning Administrator John Hall said. If built, the Homer Solar Farm would provide enough energy for between 200 and 300 homes. Seoul America environmental engineer Ryan Peters said construction would begin in May or June of this year and take 5 to 6 months to complete, assuming the project wins in the lottery. In other business, the County Board's Committee of the Whole recommended appointing Thomas Anderson to the Zoning Board of Appeals and Nancy Greenwalt, Tawana Nikens, Nathan Montgomery, and Mary Sleeth to the Rural Transit Advisory Group. Recreational marijuana. Senator Bennett now favors legalization. Pot not much different from alcohol, he says. By Deborah Pressey, Champaign. After a lot of studying on legalizing the recreational use of marijuana, State Senator Scott Bennett said he changed his mind about it. A former prosecutor, Bennett, Democrat of Champaign, said he now supports the concept of allowing a recreational marijuana use in Illinois, as long as many of the details concerning safety and public education can be worked out. Among the details on his list are keeping the marijuana out of the hands of children and out of workplaces, and guarding against people driving under the influence of marijuana. I often tell people that after researching it for a long time, I don't see many differences between marijuana and alcohol, Bennett said Tuesday. He and State Representative Carol Ammons, Democrat of Urbana, want to hear from the public ideas and concerns on this issue. They will be co-hosting a community meeting to discuss it from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday at the Illinois Terminal, 45 East University Avenue, Champaign. Ammons introduced a bill last month called the Cannabis Legalization Equity Act that would allow adults 21 and older to legally possess up to 224 grams of cannabis and up to 24 cannabis plants. There's still a lot of room to negotiate the details of whatever marijuana legalization bill may be passed, Bennett said. For him, there aren't many fears that go with marijuana that aren't also present with alcohol. But saying an adult can safely consume and enjoy marijuana at home doesn't mean anyone can, Bennett said. And saying there's a recreational component doesn't also mean there shouldn't be limits. Similar to alcohol, there is a tipping point where it does have a negative impact on people, he said. It's important that any marijuana legislation bill passed include funding for community education about marijuana and its effects, Bennett said. He and Ammons have invited, among others, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District to the community meeting. The health district could potentially be involved in community education on marijuana, he said, but I don't think we should expect them to do it without extra funding. Sexually assaulted off campus? Universities may curtail probes. Education Department proposal looks to heavily limit schools' jurisdiction. Attempts to look into claims of online sexual misconduct may also be barred. By Colin Brinkley, Washington. At some of the nation's largest universities, the vast majority of sexual assaults take place not in dorm rooms or anywhere else on school property, but in the neighborhoods beyond campus boundaries, according to data obtained by the Associated Press. But the school's obligation to investigate and respond to those off-campus attacks could be dramatically reduced by the Education Department's proposed overhaul of campus sexual assault rules. That has alarmed advocacy groups and school officials who say it would strip students of important protections in the areas where most of them live. At the University of Texas in Austin, officials have received 58 reports of sexual assaults on campus grounds since the fall of 2014, while fielding 237 involving private apartments, houses, and other areas outside campus, according to the data obtained through public records requests. Another 160 reports didn't include locations. The majority of our students are just not in proximity to campus, and a lot of things happen when they're not on campus, said Krista Anderson, the university's Title IX coordinator. Of the school's 51,000 students, she said, only about 18% live in campus housing. For now, federal guidelines urge colleges to take action against any sexual misconduct that disrupts a student's education, regardless of where it took place. But in its proposed rule, the department says schools should be required to address sexual misconduct only if it occurs within their programs or activities, a designation that would exclude many cases off campus. The proposal is included in Education Secretary Betsy DeVos's revision of Obama-era guidance on campus sexual assault, which officials say is unfairly skewed against those accused of assault and goes beyond the intended scope of Title IX, the federal law barring sex discrimination in education. Some colleges had complained that the Obama rules were too complex and could be overly burdensome. The AP asked the nation's 10 largest public universities for several years of data on the topic. Out of 8 that provided data, 5 had more reports from off-campus than on school property. The University of Texas, Texas A&M, Arizona State, Michigan State, and the University of Central Florida. At Texas A&M, for example, the number of sexual assaults reported from beyond campus since 2014 is twice the number on school property. Leaders of some schools say the proposal appears to let them decide whether to handle cases beyond their borders, but conflicting language has led some to believe they would actually be barred from it. One section says schools would be permitted to address cases outside their property, while another says schools would have to dismiss all complaints from outside their programs. Dozens of schools have asked the department for clarification. There is a concern that these regulations might strictly limit the jurisdiction of the university to conduct what occurs on campus, said David Bunis, general counsel for Worcester Polytechnic Institute, a private school in Massachusetts. Department spokeswoman Liz Hill said schools would be able to investigate cases outside their programs at their discretion, but did not clarify the discrepancy. Unless the conflicting language is changed, legal experts say it could give accused students legal grounds to get their cases dismissed. Since the proposal was issued in November, it has generated a flood of feedback from students, parents, schools, politicians, and activists on both sides. A recent comment period drew more than 104,000 responses, already the most in department history, and federal officials announced Tuesday that they would reopen the comment period for one day on February 15 because technical errors may have blocked some users from submitting feedback. Tens of thousands of comments have been credited to campaigns meant to inundate the agency with criticism. In Western Pennsylvania, for example, a local chapter of the National Organization for Women, recently hosted an event on how to submit comments, one of many similar gatherings across the country. Opponents are fighting against several of the plan's key provisions, including changes that would narrow the definition of sexual harassment and allow students accused of sexual misconduct to question their accusers through a representative. Few points, however, have drawn as much anger as the move to reduce schools' obligations off campus. In public comments, students said it would leave little recourse for those assaulted at parties, bars, or other sites. Advocacy groups worry that fewer victims would report assaults and that more would drop out of school. "We think it's very dangerous," said Terry Poor, policy director at the National Alliance to End Sexual Violence, an advocacy group in Washington, D.C. "There are several other very, very disturbing issues, but this is absolutely among the worst aspects of the proposed rule." Many colleges have raised their own concerns, especially in institutions that fear the rule would cut off their authority at campus boundaries. Lori Nichols, president of the University of Wyoming, told the Education Department that curbing schools' powers would simply push sexual violence to areas where offenders know they're beyond the school's reach. In her comment, Nichols added that refusing to take action off campus communicates indifference on the part of the institution and ignores the impact of these experiences on a student's ability to succeed in the classroom. Still, few colleges are asking the department to keep things just as they are. Instead, many want the flexibility to decide which cases to handle, even though they say they have no plans to scale back investigations. Loyola University in Chicago is among those asking for the discretion to choose. Officials wrote that regardless of where sexual misconduct takes place, the lasting impact of such misconduct is likely to affect our students' education and sense of safety. Further questions have emerged about the handling of online sexual harassment, which isn't explicitly addressed in the proposal. It's a major concern for many schools below the college level, which are bound by the same federal rules and have faced growing problems with cyberbullying. The School Superintendents Association, which represents more than 13,000 education leaders, told the department it was shocked that the proposal seems to prevent schools from responding to online sexual misconduct. While monitoring and taking steps to address these activities can be burdensome, district policies have been built around doing so, the group wrote. This would unduly tie the hands of school leaders who believe every child deserves a safe and healthy learning environment. Even supporters of the rule say it needs clarification, but they contend it's a step in the right direction. Some argue that police are better equipped than schools to handle cases away from campus property, although advocates who work with victims counter that only a fraction of assaults are ever reported to police. Cynthia Garrett, leader of Families Advocating for Campus Equality, a group that represents students accused of sexual misconduct, said existing rules have led some colleges to investigate sexual misconduct hundreds of miles away. She added that schools should handle some off-campus cases, but only within reason. "I just think it has to be a practical consideration. Is this something where the school has any power over the property? Can they go there? Can they look at the evidence?" she said. "It's very difficult to set a bright line rule, which is unfortunate because it would certainly help matters." The Education Department is now reviewing the public comments before it issues a final rule, a process expected to take several months. Federal officials estimate that if the rule is finalized, the number of off-campus cases schools investigate would fall by somewhere between 11% and 30%. As a result, the agency predicts schools would collectively save up to $456 million over a decade. Officials base their analysis on the assumption that about 40% of sexual assaults involving students take place off campus, a statistic that comes from an insurance company's study of 305 sexual assault claims filed between 2011 and 2013. Some other surveys have put the figure above 60%. Champaign County Court, Pot Possession Nets Probation by Mary Shank Urbana. A local man who admitted to having 3 pounds of cannabis intended for sale in a car he was in last summer has been sentenced to 30 months of probation. Ellis Woodland, who listed addresses in the 800 block of North Division Street, Urbana, and the 1600 block of Cruising Lane, Champaign, pleaded guilty before Judge Heidi Ladd on Tuesday to possession with intent to deliver cannabis. As part of his probation, he was ordered to pay more than $6,700 in fines and perform 50 hours of public service. In exchange for his plea, the state agreed not to revoke his probation in a 2017 theft case. The charge stemmed from a stop made by an Illinois state trooper of a southbound car on Interstate 57 in Champaign County about 9 p.m. August 23, because the female driver was going 91 miles per hour in a 70 mile per hour zone. The trooper could smell cannabis and found 1,380 grams in 3 bags in the trunk. Woodland, the passenger, admitted it was his. Court records show he also had a 2012 cannabis conviction. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated February 13, 2019. Please stay tuned.